It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. Jack, there were primary elections across the state this week, including a special primary election in northeastern Wayne County to replace State Representative Brian Banks. Banks resigned in disgrace earlier this year after being charged with a host of new felonies. Most civic groups endorsed Pamela Saucy, a lawyer from Harper Woods, but Mayor Duggan endorsed Tanisha Yancey, who herself has felony convictions in her past, and she won by a narrow margin. What's going on here?
Well, it's a very interesting case. Years ago, when Democrats were much more dominant, some Republicans felt they could only have one Republican statewide winner in any election, and they would endorse Governor Milliken and not work very hard for the others. You may have a reverse case of that here. Now, Mayor Duggan also endorsed Brian Banks last time. He also had to run against Pamela Saucy 2 years ago. Almost every good government, Chamber of Commerce type group endorsed Saucy, but he endorsed Yancey. Now, Yancey, of course, says her legal troubles are far in the past. She's learned from them, etc. But it could be that Duggan believes that he needs to court favor with the black electorate by endorsing someone else who's African-American in a district like this.
An audit released this week says that Michigan needs more inspectors and more money when it comes to asbestos remediation. The legislature's auditor general says the program is falling behind on reports and follow-up visits to demolitions where asbestos removal is required. That's not terribly surprising, since according to the report, there are only 4 inspectors for the entire state to respond to complaints, issue violations, and inspect landfills. Jack, after everything that's happened in Flint, it seems like the state would be going out of its way to avoid any kind of public health crisis.
Well, I think so, but in fact, the state doesn't do that. The people in the legislature these days are more concerned with cutting or having low taxes than of taking care of the public sector of the economy. And we have a lot of children with dental problems. We have children with issues with hunger and children who are in schools that are substandard. So this is not greatly surprising, maybe a little bit, because asbestos, of course, is seen as the bogeyman, and we all know how harmful it can be. This may open people's eyes. The report didn't exactly say how many inspectors they need, but anytime you demolish a building or do significant work in an older building, you're likely to stir up asbestos fibers.
The two sides in a so-called right-to-read case involving 5 Detroit schools presented their arguments in federal court on Thursday. Jack, the basic question in this case is whether the state has to ensure that all Michigan students get a basic education. Attorneys for the plaintiffs say conditions in 5 Detroit schools are so bad they violate the constitutional rights of students. Lawyers for the state say education and literacy are not basic constitutional rights. It seems like a pretty complicated question here, Jack.
I think it's a very fascinating and fundamental question. The Michigan Constitution says, of course, that the state is responsible for education, but what does that mean? And does the state only have to provide something called schools and hope kids will learn from them? It's not at all clear, and it's not at all clear how much, really, in some cases, to be fair, the state can do. If you have a child who's malnourished, who gets no parental support, it's probably not a matter of curricula and lesson plans and things like that, but it is certainly true that some of these schools are an absolute disgrace, and it would be better if more money had been spent on them. I expect this issue in some form will eventually reach the United States Supreme Court.
A small group of Detroiters who live in homes lost to tax foreclosures walked away with deeds to those properties this week. These are folks who've completed the Detroit Land Bank's Occupied Buyback Program. People who go through the program have to put $1,000 down, pay some future property taxes, and take homebuyer classes. The Land Bank says 120 people completed the program this year. Mayor Mike Duggan has some pretty high hopes for the program. He says these people deserve a path to homeownership. What do you think about the program, Jack?
Well, I think it's an excellent idea. I'm surprised we haven't had something like this earlier, and we probably should expand it. The city, as Mayor Duggan points out, doesn't want a whole lot of vacant houses and doesn't want to evict people. When a house doesn't have people in it, that's when it deteriorates very rapidly. And if we can do something to get these folks, in some cases, of course, they're not able to make their payments through no fault of their own. There's some heartrending stories of people who had got cerebral palsy or some other ailment and weren't able to work anymore. And anything they can do to keep people in their homes is good for the city and is a good humanitarian thing. So I would think that anyone who knows anything about it would hope that these numbers continue to increase.
All right, Jack. Well, thanks so much and have a good weekend.
I intend to try to fix up my house this weekend.
Sounds good. Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.